everyone, and welcome to this week's festive special of Ginger Gerald, You Lucky Bastard, which we've called It's Beginning to Feel a Lot Like Christmas. Now, you must all know people who say things like, I can't wait for Christmas to be over, or it's just become over commercial, or it's lost its real meaning. Well, I'm pleased to tell you, I'm not one of those people, okay? I love a bit of Christmas. What's not to love? You get to spend more time with your family. You get a few extra days off work. You get a load of new socks. And you can eat and drink far too much. You even get some Christmas cracker jokes to keep you going for another year or so. It's absolutely fabulous. Now, I do understand that some people may have very good reason not to enjoy this time of year. Maybe someone's no longer there who had been there the previous year, or people get super stressed about money or about entertaining, or people, of course, feel very lonely. And I'm really, really sorry about that. It sounds awful. And I know that Ginger Gerald is currently, at least, a very lucky bastard. But I'm also aware that this could be any of us at any point in time. But there's also some people, let's be frank and honest here, who are just miserable bastards too. And we shouldn't let them off the hook. No, call them out for it. That's what I say. I've always really liked Christmas. As a kid, it was great fun. There were so many of us at home, and Christmas was always very traditional. Carols, tinsel, the tree, baubles, Christmas cards, midnight mass, sherry, turkey, Brussels sprouts, mince pies, and of course, on Christmas morning for us, a bunch of prezzies. A really full and complete set of Christmas traditions which I absolutely loved and used to get really excited about. Even the traditional tangerine or satsuma or whatever it was in the bottom of my stocking was great. There were so many of us in our family that we didn't get big expensive presents, but we did get quite a lot of small ones like colouring books or laces for your footy boots, or a mini table tennis set, a chocolate toolbox, a torch complete with batteries. One year, I realised I'd thrown away a present that I hadn't spotted. So I got very excited and I spent what seemed like hours desperately digging through all of the wrapping paper and all of the rubbish until, success, I found it. I unwrapped the hidden little gem and I felt like it was a sort of value-added surprise. And I was over the moon to discover a pencil sharpener. You know, one of them that caught the shaving bits so you could sharpen a bunch of pencils and then empty it later. State of the art. I'd be the absolute envy of my entire classroom. One year, when I was small, I was just so overwhelmed with anticipation that I made a plan to wake up in the middle of the night between Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and furtively pop downstairs while my parents were sleeping to open one of my prezzies. Just one, mind. I didn't want to spoil all of the surprises that lay ahead. But I was just too impatient to wait until the next morning. So, the plan went perfectly. I tiptoed down the stairs and I opened one present, the smallest one I could find that had my name on it, and as quietly as I possibly could. And in it, I found some black and red ribbons. Ribbons. Black and red ribbons? I was so disappointed. What the hell was I getting ribbons for? I wanted to cry and shout and get this problem resolved immediately. But it was the middle of the night and I shouldn't have been there at all. So of course, I couldn't do that. So I rewrapped the present and went stealthily back up to bed. Well, I couldn't sleep, could I? I spent all the rest of the night tossing and turning and trying to work out why Santa, or my parents, I'm not sure quite how old I was at this point, why had they got me black and red ribbons? My best theory was that it was a mistake and they were actually meant for one of my brothers. But why would they have wanted ribbons? So it crossed my mind that a good solution might be to go and wake up my mum and advise her in advance of this obvious mistake? Well, I'm pleased to say I didn't do that. If I had, I think Christmas morning might have got off to a particularly bad and painful start for me. Anyway, hours later, and with the whole family, including my grandma, all gathered around, I eventually reopened this gift. I went to it first, of course. Now, I had to open it as though I'd never seen it before. And as I opened it, I looked up in bewilderment, speechless at my mum. And she was very quick to explain that these black and red ribbons weren't a mistake. They were to be sewn onto the sides of my white football shorts to turn them into Stoke City shorts. Of course, I was so relieved. Why hadn't I thought of that? Oh, it made my Christmas, sort of. Anyway, I've always liked a tradition. And I guess, like most families, you go creating your own family traditions. You know, what you eat, when you eat it, who sits where. That's always a bit of a lively one. Who does what and when, the giving and receiving of presents, etc., etc. Probably lots of families have the very similar family routines, but you don't know that they're similar because you only know your own. So you assume they're only yours. And I get a bit anxious and stressed when there's even a hint or suggestion that any particular traditional element might be wiped off the agenda. I come out in a bit of a panic and a cold sweat and argue that traditions are not ours to change. They come from a higher power and they are untouchable. How can you possibly even consider changing anything? I don't always win the argument, mind you. My first ever overseas Christmas, which then became the next five consecutive Christmases, were as a ski rep in the Alps. Now, we always found somewhere to have a great big traditional roast turkey dinner. We usually scrounged ourselves a free dinner by selling the night out to our customers. But I have to say, the best thing about Christmas was hitting the slopes as early as possible the next day, getting that very first chairlift and being alone on the mountain. Same was true for New Year's Day. Absolutely fabulous. If you've never done it, it's highly recommended. Now, before we moved overseas, we spent a few Christmases as a family at Centre Parks in the UK. Now, that was back in the days when you didn't have to take out a second mortgage to stay at Centre Parks, and it was always absolutely fabulous. We could recreate all of our own home Christmas traditions perfectly in our little lodge, and we could invite others to come and join us from time to time. Plus, the added benefit of having a whole load of sports and activities thrown in. Oh, and you could have as many drinks as you wanted and still cycle home, just not in a very straight line. So when we moved overseas, we'd set the bar pretty high in terms of expectations of a good time at Christmas. And of course, as you'd guess, we tried to keep all of our traditions going and recreate the Christmases that everyone was used to. But that wasn't always easy. Partly because often, particularly in Mexico, but in many other places too, the 25th of December really doesn't look or feel like Christmas. It was invariably a boiling hot day, so we were in t-shirts and shorts. Most people celebrated in the evening of the 24th of December anyway, and not during the day of the 25th. So it already felt a little bit odd and different. And of course, when you're that far away, you can't always have all of the family members you usually have or the ones you want to be there. One year, one of the kids missed their flight and we got all into a bit of a panic and she ended up landing here 11:30 p.m. on the night of the 24th. So, oh well, at least she made it. That for us has always been the saddest part of Christmas overseas, not having certain family members with us who would love to have been there. And at some point, they may well have family, their own families and family traditions of their own, which eventually we're going to have to work around. But this year, 2022, we've hit gold. All the kids, who, as you probably know by now, are not really kids anymore, but still, they'll all be here in Mallorca with us, which is fantastic news. Now, we all like a bit of a sing-song in our family. The two girls have fabulous voices, really amazing voices. And then there's EJ, T and me. Well, we love having a go, but we're just not quite so gifted. Anyway, the run-up to Christmas means one thing for us. Christmas carols. You gotta love them, haven't you? We all have our favourites. Mine are you ready for it? Good King Wenceslas looked out, and we three kings of Orient are. But everyone has their favourites, don't they? I'm not going to go through them all, but you can start singing them in the background. Some people try and sneak in a few Christmas songs, as I call them, and they pretend they're carols. Things like We Wish You a Merry Christmas or Jingle Bells, but I'm never so keen on those. I think that's cheating. Breaking the rules, I call it. Anyway, for our first Christmas in Cancun, we decided that we'd go carol singing. That'd be a laugh, we thought, and surely everyone would be up for it and understand what we were up to. Just sharing a bit of the Christmas spirit and festivities. Well, as it turned out, nobody had a clue what we were doing or why. But don't you worry, that didn't stop us. We went ahead anyway. And instead of knocking up people's doors, we decided to go from hotel to hotel along the Cancun hotel strip. Now, for those who don't know, most hotels in Cancun have some sort of security at their entrance, you know, to keep out the riffraff. So the first hurdle was to be allowed to drive in. Well, that wasn't too tricky. I was quite used to doing that. So I'd make up some story or other about picking someone up or going to the spa or something, or having a meeting. So we tended to get in fairly easily. And most hotels have huge open plan lobbies with receptions and often a lobby bar. So at 5, 6pm on the 24th of December, you can imagine, they were packed with holidaymakers. Our modus operandi was to pull up right outside the lobby as close as possible, lower the car windows, and sing our selected Christmas carol at the top of our voices. Oh, it was so funny. Most people didn't get the relevance of it at all, and they just looked at us like we were completely mad. The odd one or two joined in, and to be fair, the security staff took it all in good spirits as they ushered us off the premises and we headed next door to have another go. Poor EJ, he was only little then, I guess. He must have been about 5. He was so embarrassed at his parents' and siblings' behaviour that he hid in the back of the car down by the feet so he couldn't be seen. Now, despite the heat in Mexico, we still wanted, as I mentioned, to keep the Christmas dinner tradition going on the 25th. So each year we had a bit of fun and quite a bit of difficulty trying to get hold of all the ingredients you needed, like Brussels sprouts, for example. I'm no big fan of them, but I still like to have a couple on my plate. Yep, it's tradition. Sometimes people had to smuggle things in for us, like stuffing mix or cranberry jelly. One year, someone tried to bring in Christmas crackers and they got their bag opened at customs on the way in. When they were asked what the crackers were, they explained about the hats and the jokes and the entire Christmas cracker tradition, but also made the minor mistake of mentioning that they go bang when you open them. Anyway, either the customs officer was being nice or he was being a bit dim, I'm not sure which, but either way, we got our crackers. Another year, which I can remember like it was yesterday, but in fact it was about 15 years ago now, turned out to be a total disaster. We had absolutely everything we needed, all the veg, including the Brussels, nice lumpy bread sauce, lovely, absolutely everything, and a fabulous looking turkey, large enough to feed about 3 times the number of people who were going to sit down for dinner. Dinner that year was going to be tremendous. Everything was prepped, including parboiled potatoes ready for the award-winning roasties. We were on time, early drinks were already in hand, so what could possibly go wrong? Gas. That's what could and did go wrong. We ran out of gas. Now, in many places, including Mexico, gas doesn't come through pipes. You need to have bottles. And as most people didn't use ovens for anything, nobody had, or at least nobody owned up to having, a spare bottle of gas to help us out. And the chances of a Christmas morning gas bottle delivery were absolutely zero. Oh dear, this was not good news at all, and we were already on our way to being half cut at this stage. No problem, piped up Ginger Gerald as I grabbed our small barbecue on wheels and fired her up with charcoal. Well, 6 hours and at least 3 bags of charcoal later, the bird was still raw. The parboiled potatoes really wouldn't mash properly, and Christmas dinner was pretty much wiped off the agenda. How disappointing for everyone was that? Another year, everything was perfect. Turkey went really well until we pulled our gammon out of the oven, complete with its honey glaze, only to realise that we hadn't bought a gammon, we bought pork. So we had a very dry, overcooked roast pork with a load of honey glaze on it. You'd have thought we'd have learned by then. Another event that very quickly became a Christmas tradition for us was the Christmas Day dip. In other words, a swim in the pool. This tradition was probably born in our Centre Parks years, and when we moved to Mexico, this made so much sense. It was hot, we always ate a lot of food, so a refreshing dip in the pool was just the most natural and pleasant thing to do. After doing this for a few consecutive years at Centre Parks, and then every year for 8 years in Cancun, it pretty much became a fixed asset on the Christmas tradition list. Not something we had the power to change any longer, out of our control. So when we moved to Mallorca, it was simply an unspoken fact that we would be wearing our Santa hats and we would be having a dip on Christmas Day. Of course we would. And the pics and the videos would duly be sent via WhatsApp and Facebook to make our UK families and friends jealous. Lovely plan. Except we'd overlooked a minor detail. The first Christmas we were in Mallorca, there was 5 inches of snow on the ground at our house. Snow. That hadn't even crossed our mind. So suddenly this lovely, easy, practical and very pleasant tradition changed somewhat. And those of us like Ginger Gerald here who've got TOD, that's Tradition Obsessive Disorder, started to panic a little bit, but it still had to be done. Now, I'm very proud to say that we've kept this tradition going for the last 8 years in Mallorca. Every year the water is freezing, some years it's worse than others, and it will most certainly continue this year. But, A, we're taking in turns to be the cameraman nowadays, which is a very coveted role, and B, we have a hot shower running in advance of the big plunge and a pile of big fluffy towels waiting. So, folks, I hope this little selection of anecdotes and realities about Christmas overseas has got you into a festive mood. If you've not done it already, get the tree up, get some carols on Spotify after listening to Ginger Gerald, and go find your lovely Christmas jumper to put on for work tomorrow. How many of you will be having your Christmases overseas this year? Well, I hope you're not going to break any of your traditions, and if you do, don't let me know, because that'll stress me out. And for all my listeners down under, don't forget to post your Christmas family pics before we even get to Christmas here in Europe. I know you absolutely love doing that. So, I hope you've enjoyed this festive special of Ginger Gerald, you lucky bastard. Have a great, great week, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Thank you, Ginger Gerald, for enriching our lives.